Good evening, everyone, and welcome to An Hour with an Angel. I'm Steve Becko, Editor-in-Chief of the Golden Age of Gaia, and with me today is Linda Dillon, Channel for the Council of Love, author of The New You, The Great Awakening, and The Jesus Book. And Linda, you've had a long stretch of torrential rain.
Boy, we sure have. As I was mentioning just before the show, you know, everyone's been thinking about the tropical storm Alberto, but in fact, we've had about 14 straight days of torrential rain. I think we've had, just in the last few days, we had 11 inches of rain. So
wow.
It's been really, really interesting. So today, we have some blue skies, just patches of blue sky, and oh, I am one happy camper.
You know, Florida is flat, right?
Florida
I'm trying to think of where
flat.
11 inches of rain would go.
Well, you know, in Florida, there's a lot of coral beds, and the land is really porous. A lot of our soil is really very sandy, so it sinks, and it sinks fairly quickly. But still, we have had, like, little rivers, you know, running down not only our streets but our properties. So it's been an interesting cleansing, and it sure gives you a renewed sense of how nice it is to see the sun.
Yes, right.
And I tell you, everything is phenomenally green. I mean, if you talk about breathing green, come to Florida, because it is green, green, green.
That's great. Well, okay. And I also understand, since we've been talking about it before, that you have a major announcement to make.
I do have a major announcement that I want to share with our listeners all over the planet, and that is that I am going to be starting a new adventure and beginning my own show, and this is under guidance and bringing me back to some of my original purpose, but also a real expansion, and I think this is something we're all going through. So I will be leaving In Light Radio, The Hour with an Angel.
And Heavenly Blessings.
And Heavenly Blessings in mid-June. Yeah. And it's bittersweet. But I also have to say how wonderful, how honored, how expansive this experience has been for me, and I hope for everybody. You know, I also want to reassure people, because I know when I first mentioned it, there was a bit of this, oh no, where's the Council of Love and Linda Dillon going? And that's not the case at all. I continue to be the channel for the Council of Love, the Company of Heaven, and communicate everything they want us to hear and know about. But I'm simply going to do it on a different platform and in a different way.
Well, also, Linda, it will, I mean, the format as it is exists now is channeling. But the change in the format will allow you to teach more as well as channel.
That's correct, Steve, and thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, when we first started, we had the channeling show, which is Hour with an Angel, and then at that time, the council was saying to me that we needed a second show in terms of explaining the how-tos. You know,
practice.
Archangel Michael can say to us, surrender, but how on earth do you do that?
Right.
And so what the new format, which is called The Council of Love with Linda Dillon, I mean, it's a very straight title. And what we're going to be able to do is to really blend the teachings and the how-to and the insights, you know, that I've gained over, gosh, the last 35 years. Certainly marking my age, huh? And so the purpose is also for listeners, you know, to be able to submit their questions and to have more of that interaction. So it won't be I'm just a channeling show. The whole intent is to really bring forth more of the teachings, because, you know, there's part of me at times that thinks they've told us everything. I mean, if you look back at even the material that you and I and Susie and those who have worked with us have generated over the last 7 years,
mm-hmm.
it's phenomenal. But when you look at it in terms of a body of work of what the Council's given us in the last 30 years, it's like over the top. And so what do we do with these
yes.
teachings, and how do we apply them, and what does that look like? So that's sort of where the radio show is going to take us, and more meditation, some channeling for sure, and some conversation.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I'm excited.
Yes.
And I'm a little sad.
Uh-huh. Well, both sides. Same with me. Same, I think I can say for Susie, you know, both sides. And I, so can I talk about both sides of me?
Sure, please do.
Oh, okay. So one side, of course, is very sad because you and I and Susie have practically been confidants for, you know, six years for Susie, seven for me. And yesterday, I was telling you before the show, yesterday I pulled my right arm, which is my writing arm, right? And it's just been really painful, and this morning it was hard to brush my teeth and put on my socks and type, right? Write.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this morning, you know, how symbolic, you know, you are starting your new venture, and I've lost my right arm, my writing arm, right? I thought that temporarily, of course. And so that's how it feels. It's like a good part of me will go over to your new, not geographical digs, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all there. You know, I'm but then I also know a bunch of things. One, that this is going to be the case with lightworkers from now on. You know, cell, C-E-L-L, mitosis, you know, the cell divides, and the whole thing makes a human being or an organism. And this is going to be our future, you know, so we should be getting used to rapid change in the lightworker community as more and more lightworkers start more and more ventures, and the influence of lightworkers spreads throughout society. So this is not going to be unusual. And as for me personally, as you well know, Linda, I haven't had a reliable short-term memory since 2011. So this has been very stressful for me to be on a radio show with the risk of forgetting what was said 5 minutes ago. And worse, you know, it's been a constant challenge. And so when you mentioned this the other day, I felt this tremendous load lifted from me of doing this radio show, and at the same time functioning with this circumstance, which I'm told is temporary, and certainly will not be here when I'm handling financial situations. So there's that. There's the lightening of the load before we turn to the reval and everything that brings with it. So, you know, this, I'm sad that we won't be in as close contact, but I know that this is, that they have, you know, they're doing this for a purpose, and I'm quite ready for whatever is next, which will now be,
you know,
I hope, 100% writing. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that our listeners probably would, although you've mentioned it, would not really know about your issues with your short-term memory, because, Steve, you always do and have done such a stellar job with your questions and your observations and asking whomever was on deck for greater clarity and understanding. So,
well, thanks.
No, you've done this amazing job. And so it's really, I want to make sure that I take my hat off and acknowledge the contribution that you've certainly given to my personal growth. I mean, when the council first suggested that we would do this, I was absolutely terrified. The thought of channeling on the radio, like, my God, what next? And that's the thing. There's always a next. Yes. There's always more.
Right.
And this is, you know, I'm real lucky. Yeah, right. I get to be, like, leading the parade in some senses of this change because you're right. As the light worker, love holder community, change is really on deck.
Yes.
And we just need to be able to say yes, even when we don't know the full import of what that yes means. Because we do know that there is a plan. There's a huge plan that the mother and father have, you know, cooked up. And such a big piece of this is our ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And our ascension means that we keep going and making that trip back to not just the divine, but our divine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge.
It's going to call upon us to get bigger, get bigger, get bigger. And I don't think people are used to that kind of process of getting bigger to, a boss of mine used to call it putting your arms around something. You know, he'd always try to get his arms around something.
We're all being asked to step up and step out.
Yeah. So, yes. Well, anything more on that, dear? Or we're going to have three more programs, including today.
Yes.
And then you are going to be beginning your new channel.
Yes. Well, I'm going to take a break in between. I'm going to take my annual foray to New Hampshire into a pristine crystal lake.
Uh-huh.
And sit on the dock with my sisters and have coffee in the morning and wine at sunset. And then I'll begin my new adventure.
You bet. Okay. That's great. Well, why don't we invite Archangel Michael to the discussion and turn the mic over to him.
Greetings. I am Michael.
Greetings, Laura.
Welcome. I am Archangel of Peace, Warrior of Love, Bringer of News, Holder of Truth. Yes, you might think that my beloved sister, Gabrielle, is also Trumpet of Truth. And so we both hold this quality because it is so important. It is so essential to joy, to love, to peace, to compassion, to prudence, to patience. Because that kernel of truth, that seed of truth, that root of truth is what allows so much to blossom. And to blossom within your being, to blossom within your heart, to blossom within your life, your family, your community, and to blossom upon this planet. Many of you, my beloveds, many of us, my beloveds, look at what is unfolding upon this sweet Gaia. And many of you shake your head and you say it is so bad and there is so much that is being revealed, so much discordance, recalcitrant, nastiness, greed, abuse that is coming to the surface. And that is necessary. That is good news in so many ways. I will not call it the best news because the best news is yet to come. and the best news was the day you were born. But it is good news and it is necessary news for us. When the paradigms of lack of truth, of false grids, of false paradigms began to gain root, gain ground upon this beautiful planet, that was a day of disappointment, of confusion, of sadness on our side. We all turned to the Mother and said, what is this? This growing darkness that denies love, that denies divine authority, that denies the ascendancy of self. And she would say to us, yes, but they are learning. They are choosing. They are exercising their free will. For even in the choice, the soul choice, the human choice of being abused, that honoring of free will, of the right to choose, has never been overridden. Not by the Mother, and most certainly as her servants and guardians, not by us. And so when we look at what you consider the sad situation of what is being revealed, and even in the revelations, there is so much untruth, there is so much fiction, there is so much composition. But what is important from our perspective is that which has gained root in human societies, east, west, north, south, is coming to completion. Because as I have said to you before, peace is breaking out all over the planet, and certainly far beyond. What is occurring is a cleansing. And yes, you even see some cleansing of Gaia by fire and water and wind and air. But what is truth is emerging out of these revelations of what has been false. So why do I come and speak of this? I come and I say to you, beloveds, take heart. Anchor in your heart. Anchor in your truth. Anchor in your divine knowing and your divine authority. Anchor in what you know is of love. Because as you do this, and you are doing it by the millions, what you are doing is declaring and solidifying and making what you have chosen to be the new paradigm, the paradigm of love, governed by the laws of love. You are anchoring that in the soil of the soul, in the soil of the collective consciousness, in the soil of social behaviors, political behaviors. But you say, well, Michael, Mikael, I am not running for office. And what I say to you is, dear heart, you have already run for office and been elected. You are the chosen ones simply because you have chosen. Yes, you are being asked to step forward in truth and clarity and joy and love. This is not difficult. This is not a trial by fire. This is a vote of confidence. We have told you, you are pathfinders. You are way showers. You are gatekeepers and herders and pillars. But even the pillar, which is the one that cleans up the tail end, even that is a way shower. Truth. You're saying truth will win out. And beloved ones, it is. All over your planet, as these levels of truth and even untruth emerge, as war and devastation has literally pillaged the planet, human beings are saying, that is not what I want. That is not what makes my heart sing. It is not what contributes to my joy. There has to be a different way. There has to be a different path. And so it is that you are literally forging that different path. Think of it in this way. When the creator race was anchored upon this beautiful planet, think of your analogy, your myth, your mythology of Garden of Eden. That was the beauty. As those who chose to begin to engage in the free will of ego.
Hi. Excuse me, Michael. I'm sorry. I was dropped from the call right when you were talking about pillars cleaning the whatever. So I take it I jump back into the call now, and I ask your I apologize.
That is not a problem. So I will continue.
Thank you. Please.
Even those of you who are in cleanup are still pathfinders and way showers. I have been, while you have been in absentia,
yes,
been talking about the original creator race.
Thank you.
And how the earth was, to use the symbology of the Garden of Eden, because it was a place of joy and love and beauty.
Right.
When the those who, through an act of free will, began to wish greater authority than Source and began their egoic deviations into control and abuse of authority, into the abuse of power and power over others. What were they doing? They were forging new pathways. That is why it took thousands and thousands and thousands of years for this to become basically the operating system for humanity. It was not an easy task to reach the place of blindness, of devastation, of despair that plagued this planet. And note that I say plagued, because there has been a great awakening. and the human beings that are awakening and saying, no, we refuse to continue on in this way. And it is manifesting in families, in relationships, in sacred union with self, with neighbors, with friends. It is and it will manifest politically and socially, not merely spiritually. The fabric, the mosaic of this planet is shifting so significantly. It is a new age, and it is a golden age. And yes, the best is to come. But what you are doing as a light worker, love holder, community, when we are asking you to step forward, and we will talk about that, but to step forward, what you are doing is you are forging, yet again, new pathways. We have talked about the time of division, not abandonment, not rejection, but of saying to the collective, there is a better way. There is a more graceful way. There is a more joyful way. Come over here and walk with us. Walk with Yeshua. Walk with Sanat Kumara. Walk with me. You are building not only new thoroughfares, not highways or freeways, but pathways and lanes and streets and roads. And they are paved in blue and gold, fluorescent and shiny, so that many can see them. What I ask of you, beloved light workers and love holders, in this time, on this platform that we have remaining, I want you to go back to when you originally began to think of the love, began to think of yourself as an angel or a spirit, a divine being who had assumed form for purposes of love and joy, but also in service to the mother and in fulfillment of her plan, just like we are in service to the mother for the fulfillment of her infinite, eternal plan. This is a chapter of that, a segment of that. But think back to that initial awakening when you began to think of yourself and to feel yourself differently. For some of you, it has been last year, last month. For some of you, it has been decades ago. And this has been a journey. Whether it is through gurus to the east or shamans to the west, it has been a journey. And a journey of awakening. But that sense of initial wonder, when you began to think of yourself as more than simply a human seeking, when you began to think, I am a divine being seeking, and not necessarily seeking through traditional religions, but to discover the power and authority of your own sacred self to create, and then to create in community, to create in unity. I ask of you to go back and rekindle that sense of excitement, of passion, that you had to go on your path. And for most of you, it was a very lonely path for times. And it felt necessary that you felt compelled to do this journey of discovery, because it ignited you. Go back and feel that, and feel that initial sense of mission and purpose. And in that, in your heart, think of how, in forging this pathway of the new, which is the original, what are your next steps? Where do you feel compelled, inspired, lifted up? Where do you wish to proceed in this journey of truth, in this journey of love? Because that is where we are calling you to. That is where the mother is beckoning you to. You are stepping forward as creators, as implementers of Nova Earth, each in your own unique way. Some of you as nurturers. This is an area that so often gets no recognition or little recognition. The role of the mother, especially, yes, the father as well, but let us look to the mother. If a child is not nurtured, they fail to thrive. Often they will die, or they will develop vasanas of deservingness or worth and travel in aberrant ways, self-destructive ways, yearning for that recognition of self. The nurturer, those of you who travel as mother, are the foundation of society, whether it is in Africa or Indiana, whether it is in St. Petersburg or Colombia, it matters not. You are the starting point. You birth like the mother births, and you nurture. And you don't just nurture your children and your family. In doing that, you are nurturing humanity. Never underestimate the magnitude, any of you on any path, of what you are doing. If you are a teacher, then claim your right to teach. And if you are channeler or healer or writer, step forward. Now is the time. It is not about waiting. This is you, with our support, declaring yourself, not just your intention, that is the starting point, but truly in your way, moving forward. Now, where do you wish to begin this day?
Oh, it's, I don't think I should overlook mentioning to listeners that I had three questions to ask you, And I decided the first one I might not ask, but the second two you've already answered. So it's just interesting how you answer my questions before I ask them. And I think, you know, listeners should be aware of that. Just before getting into our discussion, Lord, I think listeners would probably like to hear from you some word of reassurance that the message of the Council of Love, the message of the Company of Heaven, will continue to be heard out there. I mean, I know the answer is yes, but I think they'd like to probably hear a little from you on that.
Of course it will continue to be heard.
Okay.
And it will continue to be heard in the hallways and byways, on various media. We are not retracting. We are expanding. And let us talk about this. We have created this foray, yes, with the channel, that she may step forward, yes, with nerves and with trepidation, with excitement and anticipation, with love. But she is stepping forward that she may reach a broader audience, a fuller audience, a more mainstream, shall we say, audience, so that the truths and the lessons and the understandings can be transmitted deep into the hearts of many. Now, we have told you many times, both on this radio program and on Heavenly Blessings, that when we transmit in this way, we are sending not merely the sound waves, not merely the message, but the love all over the planet and beyond. But in this time of awakening, there is a marriage taking place between the conscious and the subconscious and the unconscious. And the human beings need to be able to have greater tools, greater access, greater understanding in terms of how does the love, the peace, the joy, the surrender, how does this translate into everyday life? How does it translate into behaviors and attitudes and how you proceed with one another? So this is a massive expansion, not a disappearing act. And of course, we have chosen this one, and she has chosen herself long ago through many lifetimes to be our channel. And that does not come to an end. There will not be an end to these transmissions.
Okay, I think that's very, probably very reassuring. Thank you for that. Now, getting back to the questions about what you were discussing earlier, Lord, I think, could we just spend a moment on the matter of following one's bliss leading to one's sacred purpose? I was discussing with a friend just the other day things that she was doing, and she was lukewarm towards them and was having trouble going forward, and she was not following her bliss. And I presumed that whatever it was that she was lukewarm about was not part of her mission. Am I correct in those thoughts?
You are mostly correct. How is that? And
okay.
Let us talk about that. You know, so much of human experience and human journeying. And yes, the spiritual path is about seeking. Seeking this, seeking that, really seeking love. And that is one of the reasons why I have urged you to go back to your heart, into that original aha moment, not when you were seeking, but when you realized your divinity, your unique, beautiful divinity. The mother, when she has spoken to you, which in and of itself has been highly unusual, but when she has spoken to you and she has said to you her DNA, her essence, her blue diamond, her breath is instilled within you. She is not merely speaking metaphorically or in a flowery way to make you feel good. She is giving you important information, not even clues, but telling you the truth of who you are. Now think of it in this way. The mother has not made it difficult. She has written what brings you bliss upon and within your heart. Think of it. So much of the old paradigm has been, and it has been infused in societies and politics and finances and careers, what I shall do, what I think I'm supposed to do, whether it has become an accountant or a lawyer, rather than what I want to do. What you want to do, what your heart desire is your bliss, is why you came. That is why we say, even within the generalities of what you think of as a category, as a writer, every writer has a different perspective, a different story. And it is the bliss of doing that is the truth of your heart's desire. The idea of writing may be interesting to you or think, oh, that would be cool, that would be joyful, that would give me freedom. But it is the actual accessing of the bliss and putting it on paper or in the cloud that is truly the bliss. Because that bliss is inside you, and it is written upon your heart. So when you think of things that you are should do, supposed to do, might do, and it doesn't ignite that fire of excitement and that granite of peace, then you are being given an important piece of information, which is, look elsewhere. Is that clear?
Yes, it's very clear. There's also another aspect of it, and this comes from both my own observation and studying of things that you've said in earlier days, and that's that it appears in some of our discussions together, you brought forward tasks or assignments that I hadn't been aware of previously when we hadn't discussed them. And it suggested to me that there's an awful lot of this, you know, not only in our soul agreements, but in a more dynamic way, of this all being mapped out in some way. Could you talk about the extent to which it's mapped out and the extent to which it isn't?
Yes, and one of the reasons why we have not talked a great deal about what you are calling mapped out, is because there has been these fragments, these shards, these remnants of beliefs in predestination, fate. It's already written. And in the end, you get judged and go to heaven or hell. All of which are erroneous. Think of way back in the very beginning when you have assumed form. For some of you, it is thousands of lifetimes ago. And for some of you, it is more recent. That matters not. As you began to assume form with your guardians, your guardian angels, and with many of us, and most certainly in what you would translate into conversation with the mother. You didn't just assume form to know form. You assumed form because there was something that you wanted to do. So for, I use the journey of peace. And throughout many lifetimes, that journey of peace has always been the soul mission and purpose, assuming many, many, many different forms in different lives, and sometimes taking very significant scenic detours because of free will. But that decision that you are a peaceful warrior doesn't change. You have different experiences and different choices along the way. Now let us bring it fast forward into, say, this lifetime. And you say, I am going to go as peaceful warrior, as channel, as healer, it matters not, nurturer. And I'm going to go to Earth with the blessing and the agreement and choosing yourself and being chosen by the mother, because this is such an important tipping, changing time on the planet. Now, I want to be clear about this. This is a time in the history of what it means to be on this planet, what it means to be Gaian, where the very definition of what it means is changing. Now you can look back, evolutionary or revolutionary, shifts in human experience. You tend to, those of you who believe in the slow evolution, think of the discovery of fire. Those of you who wish to think more in terms of revolutionary, think of liberty and equality. So there have been these times when there have been jumps in what you would translate as consciousness. So before you assume form, you map out with us, not without us. That is the most important thing. This isn't predestined. This is a literal collaboration and contract. And it is a contract that has been agreed to long ago and very recently. And you then, in part of that contract, you say, well, I don't really want to go without this or that person in my soul circle. I don't really want to go without some soul partners, some people that I feel in sacred union with. Now, some of those people will be siblings or parents or best friends, and some will come into your life for one of those critical moments or a critical period of time to act as a catalyst, to activate you, for both of you to explode, and then very often go your separate ways. You map these things out of what you want, you desire, your heart's and soul desire in service to the mother, what you want to have happen. So there is a blueprint. There is a mapping. Now, what happens? And some of you, and let us be clear about this, some of you choose very difficult roles because you say, I am going to be an abuser of power. I am going to be the person that everyone decries because it will bring to light all the things that have gone wrong, all the things that are terribly abhorrent in society. So even those are choices. But within that, then you land into, say, a family that you have come to bring love to. And sometimes they accept you, and sometimes they reject you. Sometimes in their path and their choices, they say, oh, we don't want this. And then sometimes as you grow, because your free will and choice is not interfered with, you can take detours. You can take terrible detours. And then you get back home and you say, oh my God, what did I do? And then you heal. And then you begin again. You see, it is not that we as archangels do not have free choice. It is that our love, our commitment, our service makes our choices of anything less than what we have devised and planned with the mother, it makes it inconceivable. So when you, as human being, say, well, I have no choice, that is not true. Part of your ascension, part of your divine authority and your divine knowing is putting yourself into a position where to stray from your plan, your bliss, which is written on your heart and inside your heart, that any other choice becomes impossible. That it just is so discordant that you can't do it. So that you fulfill what you planned along with all of us, including yourself. You have not been absent from the mapping. But can you deviate? Oh, yes. And there have been some spectacular deviations. And that is why now, as you are redefining, literally, with the energy upgrades, the attunements, the ascension, you are redefining what it means to be human. You are choosing love. You are aligning with us so that the experience of being human is in accordance with the mother's plan of love. It is a quantum leap. And that is also why at times it has felt so difficult, so challenging, because you are breaking the mold of what it meant to be human. Is this clear?
Well, it is, but the pivotal thing for me, Lord, and what you just said is that I don't think many of us as humans have experienced the kind of love you're talking about that would make anything, any other choice than, say, in this instance, to follow the mother's will possible. I mean, I don't think we have any idea of what love like that feels like. Am I correct in that, or do you think we do?
It is a quality that can grow. But yes, most of you, and I speak to you who are love holders, most of you have had those moments where you have glimpsed it or felt it or known it or blissed it, and you have said, that is what I want.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking about. Oh, that. Yes.
And you would do anything according to your plan to expand that. So in so many ways, it is saying no to what doesn't expand or support that growth of bliss, of love, of knowing. It is saying no to the old. So yes, most of you have, in fact, had those, some of you moments, some, this is where you live now. So it is expanding every single moment of every single day. And you are discovering it in each other. And when that happens, there are sparks and fireworks exploding all over the planet. So it is not just merely discovering it in and of the mother. It is discovering the mother in the cohabitants of your planet as well. That is why we have spent so much time speaking and talking about sacred union in the human form. It is how you experience and express what we can call the mother love.
And the heart opening, the gradual heart opening that we're going through, that will lead us to a point where we will know this love that you're talking about, will it not?
Continually and constantly, yes. That is correct.
Well, what do you
and
mean?
That is the heart opening is underway. And the heart opening is not to open it and then slam it shut. So it is incremental so that you do not feel that you literally have been carried out to sea in the tsunami. But it is already well underway.
So it being well underway amplifies our experience of love? Is it going to be a process of continually amplifying, expanding our experience of love?
Yes, and also your knowing of love. For some of you, for many humans, and this is where the jump in consciousness takes place, is that it is not just the experience. It is the knowing. You see, you can have an experience of ecstasy, and then it passes, and you think, oh, that was nice. And then you set it aside. But when you bring it to your consciousness, your conscious self, and you say, well, that was nice, and I'm going to proceed in making sure I am holding on to this, then it is a different state of being. Think of it in this way. If you have a physical orgasm, you are in bliss for several seconds. And in that, then it is over. And some of you think, oh, I can't wait till the next time. But what if that sense of union, not in being incapacitated or exhausted for that matter, but of carrying that sense of connection forward constantly. So that is what the heart opening is doing. It is allowing you more and more to carry the bliss, the knowing, the love, constantly and consciously. You experience it. Some of you think you are having a heart attack. And then it recedes slightly, but it never recedes fully. So you can still be operational, but that knowing is there. Is that clear?
Oh, yes, definitely clear. Also, you can, excuse me, you can draw it up from your heart, so you can summon the love up if your heart has been opened. As you say, it's not open fully. It's just open a crack compared to what it was, but you can draw it up. I've also noticed that when I was a young man in the growth movement, memory was discounted. Oh, that you're in your head, you're in the past. But I have noticed when I get beyond that, in more recent days, that I can remember a peak experience and I can bring that experience back. Not fully, not continuously, but I can touch upon it again and it can remind me what bliss is like.
And that is the growth of your consciousness. Awareness, to be able to make that connection and simply not to rely on happenstance. So heart memory, let us call it that, heart memory is very important. Because really also what you are doing as you delve and dig deeper and deeper, you are remembering the fullness of the connection to the love, to the mother. That is what you are doing.
Huh. Interesting. You said earlier that you were going to talk about stepping forward, stepping out. We've taken it to a certain level of specificity, and I wonder if we could go further and you could tell lightworkers what you want to see happen, what you want to see their efforts produce, but at a more specific level than simply the replication of a divine quality all over the planet, which, of course, is superb, in the Garden of Eden. But what do you want us to do in more specificity?
I want your actions to be tangible. Yes, I have asked all of you to beam out and to anchor peace and love. Enjoy. The list is really quite long. But your tangible actions have need to literally be in form so that it can be something that people experience, that they can taste and smell and touch. So if you, for example, are an accountant, then what you are doing, of course, you are still playing the numbers game. But are you infusing into those numbers truth? Or are you just trying to play the game of robbing Peter to pay Paul? Are you just playing the game to ensure that you have more money? Or are you taking that money and putting it generously to other people, others in need who are seeking food and clothing and shelter? Are you treating your clients respectfully? Are you joining in community with them? Are you realizing that their hopes and their dreams to bring in tangible form depend on you? Or are you simply saying, that guy's a jerk, I'll do the work, but I want nothing to do with him? Then find different clients. Find those you love and admire, or translate your love to transform him. Take it into your everyday interactions and start doing what your heart desires. If you want to be a healer, then start a healing practice. Volunteer to treat people. Send energy, hands-on. Do it in form.
And any more specific than that? what
no,
do you want to see?
Because I do not write. I do not write or direct others to what they have need to do because it is written on your hearts.
Ah, okay.
So Nova Earth looks like a planet where people are following their heart's desires and where that is the norm, not the exception.
Well, of course, that's the way it is on the astral planes. Everybody has what all they need, and they just do what they love, really.
That is correct.
So, again, that's bringing heaven to earth.
Yes. So I leave you with my peace and my love. Farewell.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Farewell.